Well, it is a treat to be with you, always is. Love this place and love so many of you, and I always look forward to getting to know more and more of you when I'm here. But for time's sake, less greeting, I'm going to move right into the preaching of God's Word. So let me ask you a question to kind of get us thinking in the right direction. In addition to giving your heart to God, if you had to pick one other gift that you could give to Him, what do you think you'd give Him? Lord, here's my heart, and here is. What would it be? Well, a lot of right answers to that. No wrong answer, I do not believe. But I think from my vantage point, I would say I'd want to give Him faith. I'd want to give Him trust in Him, that I would place my life in trusting Him. By faith. Well, we should understand, of course, that, well, the Bible certainly speaks to the importance of it when it says in Hebrews chapter 11 very clearly, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you can imagine what pleasure comes to God when His people offer that gift of faith in the way they live. Well, I realize that trusting God is not always easy, and sometimes it seems impossible. And the reason's because the things that we're to put our faith and trust in the Lord to do or to obey or whatever, we go, that's impossible. I don't see how I could ever do that. There are things that God has promised, and He says, trust me for this. And then we face an encounter of maybe losing something very precious to us, or even harder, someone very precious to us. And in that moment, we know the Word of God says, all things work together for good to those who love Him, called according to His purpose. That's the way it is. And we say, I know it's true. I just don't know how I could have faith such as that to believe it. It's hard. And that just deals with the things that God has promised. What about the things He's revealed to us? Things He said, you must. Things He said, no, not that. Do not do that. Things that are revealed to us, maybe through the Word of God, such as love your enemies. I don't know how many of you have some true enemies. Most people would. And now you think, okay, God, you're telling me to love that person after what they did to me, wronged me so intentionally, and you say, love them? I don't know that I can do that. That seems impossible. Well, it is without faith, huh? Well, it's not just the things that He reveals in the Word. He reveals things to be His will through God-given authorities. Perhaps our young people, they realize that their parents are telling them to do things and not to do things. You say, that's not fair. I don't like that. I don't believe that's the judgment that I would make, and I don't want to do that, and whatever it may be. And we're told, honor your parents. We're told that children obey your parents. This is the will of God. We go, that's impossible. I just don't see how that's possible. But then there's a third category of God revealing His will, and it's through the conscience. I think this one sometimes is the hardest of all to deal with. What happens when God says, okay, there's something you're doing that's not wrong, it's not forbidden in the Word of God, but I want you not to do that. I can remember being told by the Lord in my heart in a worship service. I was attending, sitting in the back, and I knew God was saying, I want you to stop a particular activity that was a sport with Christians that I was spending time, and there was a reason. He says, I don't want you to do that. I remember how saying, Lord, that seems impossible. This is something I love to do. It's my friends. It's Christians. It's good. But I know, God, you're saying no. You need to stop. Think about our move to Atlanta. We moved to Atlanta, and I knew that God wanted us to go to Atlanta. Carol believed God wanted us to go to Atlanta. There's nothing revealed in God's word. No authority said you need to do it, got to do it. But there was a sense of call, and God was saying, go now, here's the problem. We didn't have any money. I mean, no money. So when it came time to come to Atlanta, move to Atlanta, we'd already secured an apartment, down payment at least. But we didn't have any money, and we weren't going to get paid until we had been working for 1 month as a planter in the PCA. I don't know a soul in Atlanta. Carol doesn't know a soul. We don't have any friends. How is this going to work? And we had a sense. God says, go. But only $10 for a month? How are we going to do that? Do you do it or do you not? I remember when we were in the midst of a same thing we're doing right here, a pledge time like this. And I was away speaking, and while speaking, I just sensed the Lord saying, take your life savings and give it to this cause. And I thought, Lord, we don't have much money. We've got kids that are in high school that are going to be going to college, and we've got weddings coming up and all the, Lord, no, that seems impossible. How do you do that? Well, the truth of it is, God calls us, and he calls us through the conscience. Well, you know, we're in Faith Promise Sunday here. There's nothing in the Bible outside of tithing, but faith promise, where you're promising your intention that if you provide this kind of money, or you've already provided it, and I sense you want me to give it, then I will give it. And at the same time, knowing that if God doesn't provide it, you don't have it. You don't owe anything to the Lord or anybody else. That's perfectly understandable. But sometimes we say, God, that's impossible. I don't know how I could give that. Well, one of the reasons that we could go to Atlanta and know that we were going to park our car at an apartment that we had put a down payment on, hadn't even given our first month's rent yet, but we knew we should do it. Why would we do that? Because I was in a church, Presbyterian PCA church, when I was in seminary. And for the first time, I sat there as a new student in Jackson, Mississippi, at Reformed Theological Seminary, First Presbyterian Church, and the pastor preached at their missions conference on faith promise. I'd never heard of that idea. That was beyond me. And I said, Lord, I don't have much, but I'll pledge $1,000. If you provide it, I'll give it to you. If you don't provide it, I'm not going to feel that I've done something wrong. But at the same time, if you do, I feel like I've got to give it to you. And I saw God that first time provide $1,000 away I could have never anticipated. I went, oh my goodness, Lord, you just gave this to me to pass on to the conference. And I remember that was the beginning of a journey, learning this thing called faith promise. It's faith intention. It's a promise that if you provide it, I'll give it. And I remember that built a foundation in my life of faith, to where I found myself willing, ready, and capable of doing things that otherwise I said, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. But God, I know, I sense you're saying it, but I can't do that. But I said, but God, I've seen you do it. I know how you do that. So, okay, let's take this step. Let's see how this thing is going to go. Well, J.I. Packer has a great statement. I love it. It goes like this. He said, God made us thinking beings, and he guides our minds when we think things out, in his presence. And I learned that little understanding through a man named Dr. John Edmund Haggai. And Dr. Haggai challenged me to go into a particular work with him to do a certain job that I was interested, personally wanted to, but had a sense, Carol and I thought, this is not what God wants us to do. We didn't know what God wanted us to do with our lives. And I remember him saying to me, when I said, Dr. Haggai, it's not to go with you, and I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm just so unsure. And he looked at me and he said, Randy, you're thinking wrong. I said, how is that? He said, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what I do? No, it doesn't matter what you do. I said, then what matters? He said, I'll tell you what matters. What matters is that whatever you do, which doesn't matter, that you attempt something so great for God, it's doomed to failure unless God be in it. Now, if you hear that and think that has to be something huge and gigantic and amazing, no. Think about loving your neighbor. Think about saying yes to the Lord when he calls you to stop doing an activity. Think about it when it's time to make gifts to God that he's asked for and put something on your heart and your conscience. All the most important thing in the world. Now, it's a long introduction to a very important text. It's going to be brief, though. But this is the Word of God. I want you to listen to Philippians 4, 14 through 17. Philippians 4, 14 through 17. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that in the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Listen to verse 17, which is where we're going to focus very briefly. But listen to verse 17. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Wait, what? What is he saying? I'm going to pause here and just say, I don't know how many of you don't know this church that well. You may be relatively new to this church. I know many of you don't know me. But I'm going to tell you this. I know this church. And I can tell you this is true of this church. It's true of my life. In terms of what I'm doing right here, preaching to you. And that is that this church, nor I, am asking or seeking something from you. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, this church, they're just going for the money now. They're just trying to get us to give them money. They're just trying to get in our hip pocket. Wrong. That is not true. I can tell you the heart of this church, and this church is saying, we want something for you. It's going to bless you guys greatly and the kingdom work you're doing, but oh my goodness, what is it going to do for you? Learning faith. My personal experience, there's been nothing that God has used like money and the giving of money and listening to the Lord and trying to figure out what we do that built my faith early on. That I would have never done things that I did. I would have never gone to Atlanta without money. I would have never this. It started right here. When somebody said, have you ever made a faith promise to your God? So, in light of that, three very brief insights from our text to focus on before you make your pledge of intention if you choose to do so. Here they are. Number one, every believer has a heavenly bank account. Oh, come on. Now you're bringing earthly stuff into heaven? No, this is what the Bible teaches. It really does. Look at verse 17. There are two financial terms. One is profit, and the other is account. Profit refers to dividends or interest. Account refers to credit. These are financial terms. Literally, this is what it means. The interest which is accruing to your account. What? Yeah, when we make investments, not just of money, but when we make investments in eternity, let me tell you, there's a savings account there. God is saying, this is going to be stored up for you. That's point one. My points are really brief here, okay? Number two, deposits are placed into that account each time we give to God's kingdom. Hear this, though, with good motives. You can give money to the kingdom and it not have any bearing on you. but if you do it with good motives. So the best investments we can make are the investments we make in eternity, spiritually, investments before the Lord. So two verses, let me read, or two texts, Matthew 6 and Matthew 19. They say this, Matthew 6, 19 through 20, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Oh, there's a savings and loans of heaven, huh? You put your money there and it's making dividends on our behalf. Really? Well, listen to this one, Matthew 19, 21. Jesus says this, after he said, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, the young man said to him, all these things I've kept, what am I still lacking? And what did Jesus say? If you wish to be complete, don't we want to be complete? Go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Very interesting. Oh, is God telling us to give away everything you got? No, he's not saying that in this story, nor is he saying it to us. God says, listen to your heart. I give and I give abundance. But I'm telling you, I'm just saying this is what you do from a good heart, and you're going to get royally paid back. Not really the heart reason that we necessarily do it, but that's going to be one of the byproducts. You see, we can have bad motives that invalidate everything we do in giving. We can give, 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 but bad motives. We can have motives impure to earn the favor of God. Well, that's not what we're doing. We don't earn any favor. It's the work of Christ on our behalf. He's already brought us into favor with him. Nothing's going to change that. Or it could be to impress other people by our gifts. Let me tell you how much I gave. Let me tell you this. Could be for the fact that you're looking for, to feel good about being generous and doing this good thing. Now, there are a lot of motives, and we have to constantly just look at our heart and say, Lord, forgive me. Yeah, I got bad motives. Cleanse me. God, forgive me for this, but I want to give. I want to do this. I want faith. I want to build faith, and so forth. So there's number two. Number three, God pays excessively high dividends on every deposit we make. And we've already looked at verse 17, the word profit, and then the word increase. Our text there is saying to accrue excessively, to reach overflowing proportion. And we go, come on, really? I mean, do you really believe this? Well, you listen to what God says in his holy word, and you tell me what God is saying. Is this what he's saying or not? Listen to this. Five verses, five passages, very brief, but just listen one after the other and say, this is what God says. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Luke 6, 38, give and it shall be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Matthew 19, 29, everyone who has left his houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. Last one, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing until it overflows. Now, I know you've got to be hearing this and saying, this is borderline, maybe it's dipped into the reality of what we call prosperity theology. Randy is telling us, you give a dollar, you can get $10 back. That is not what Randy's saying, and that's certainly not what the Bible's saying. You see, you've got to make a distinction between two types of theology as it has to do with money and offerings and so forth. One is called prosperity theology. We're familiar with that when we scroll the television and hear a preacher talking about give, 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 and this is what's going to happen to you, and give, give, give. That's prosperity theology. But it's the wrong kind. It's lifestyle prosperity. Lifestyle prosperity. The Bible never teaches that. But it does teach life prosperity. He said, you give, and your life, I'm going to bless your life. It may be in ways that have nothing to do with what you've given, in terms of money or whatever you've given. You never know. God says, you know what I'm going to do? Watch your children walk with the Lord. I'm going to bless you. Watch this. Watch that. But he says, you're going to be blessed in your life. And you know, one of the ways he blesses us the most, he doesn't give us things we want, and he takes away things we have. And he says, you know what? Made it very clear in Proverbs, you know, give me neither poverty nor riches. Both of them will just destroy you. Give me just what I need. And we say, Lord, here I'm giving you this, I'm giving you that. Now, what are you going to do to bless me? He says, well, I'm just going to strip you of finances you think you have to have in order to make it. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Who knows? But he says, your life is going to be blessed. Your lifestyle may go down, but let me tell you, you will be blessed. Keep that in mind. So I go to Atlanta. Carol and I go to Atlanta with a two-month-old. $10. We're going to need $600 to get us around that area, amount of money to get us through that month. But we find out the PCA is just starting church planning. They don't have money to play until after you've worked a month, and then you get your money. Well, we didn't have any money. But we move on. We find an apartment. We put a deposit down while we could, and then we end up going, packing our few little goods and pull it behind our car, and here we go. And we get there, we don't know anybody. To our surprise, we find out that we have to pay our first month's rent that Friday. We move in mid-week. We can't even get utilities. It's the middle of June, hot as it can be. We don't have electricity. But we're there. I said, Lord, well, this is what we sent you want us to do. And okay, now, what do we do? Well, we find out that we have to pay our first month's rent that Friday, and so I have to go down and talk to the manager. And Carol says, what are you going to tell the manager? I said, well, I just have to give him our story. And she says, what's our story? I said, well, our story is we follow the Lord. The Lord provides when he needs. I don't know. I can't say that. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I literally go up and delay as long as I can. I say, I guess you need our money now, huh? The manager says, oh, I'm so sorry, but I can't take your money now because I've already gone to the bank, forgot about yours, and can't go back until Monday, and can't keep things in here over the weekend. Could you do us a favor, come on Monday to pay? I said, if that helps you, I'll be happy to help. I come rushing back to Carol, and I said, Carol, I said, you know God waits to the very last minute to build faith. He stretches us, and so the last minute is not today like we thought. And so we have Saturday, and we don't know anybody in Atlanta, but I know this. We've given our mailing address to a lot of loved ones and friends, and that's how God will work. You watch. He's going to send it through the mail. I was so confident. That next morning, we had one agenda for the day, and that was to meet our mailman, and our mailman did not stop to say hello and was gone, and I'm telling you, no faith. I get up in the middle of the night, and I am crying, and I don't weep enough. And I'm saying, God, we got a baby. I came here because I thought you wanted us. What do we do now? What, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what happens? We go to church on Sunday. First Baptist Church, this huge church. We're walking in. Put our child in the nursery. We're walking in. And who's walking out of the service, previous service? An old friend of mine from college. A Briarwood man. And he had given money to us in seminary to help us. He'd sent money, and I had felt sent it back. God had used me in his life by his grace. I felt he was paying me back, and I just said, oh, I'll give that back to him. And I said, use it for somebody in greater need. And so I'm logically thinking, as I see him, he's got some of my money, doesn't he? What are you doing here? Start a church? And said, oh, I want to hear about it. I'll go to the next service. I went to the first, but I'll till the sermon starts, and I'll get out. Great. And I was so excited. I said, Lord, thank you. You've delivered the lamb to be slaughtered. I am going to talk to him, and he will give us money. We're in a good place. And you know what God does? He talks to you in your heart conscience, and God made it real clear as we're walking to our seats. Don't you mention money. Don't you mention need. Oh, God, please. Sit down, never said a word. The offering came. He pulls out a checkbook and he writes a check. He's holding it like to put in the plate. The plate comes to me. I hand it to him to give to the usher. And he didn't put it in the tray. Instead, he pushed it into my shirt pocket. And he says, I hope you'll accept this. I said, I will. This one not going back for sure. Well, we open up. There's $600. Oh, was that a coincidence? No, nobody's going to convince me of that. I'm going to say, no, God moved in his own way to do what he planned to do. Was there a connection with faith that preceded it that said, let's go because God's calling? Yes, but you got to hear this too, or you don't know the rest of the story. And that's this, that you can do that which you are convinced is the will of God. You can do it with good motives, and you can still fail. But you got to know this. When you fail at what you attempted, you'll be better off because of your failure. And I could sit here and wear you out with stories of failure. But always works together for good. You know, when I came home from speaking and told Carol about my sense that God is saying, let's give our savings away. She looked at me and she started crying. And she said, I knew you'd do something like this. No. I won't do this without you. If you agree, I mean, we're to team. And by the way, as you make your pledges, if you're married, you got one that thinks this much, the other thinks the lower amount, give the lower amount. God can always move you to give more later. But just, so anyway, I said, well, Carol, you'd have to agree with this. Well, let me go pray. Let me go think about this. So she takes a walk. Beautiful afternoon. And she takes a walk, and she comes back in, and she says, Randy, I'm all right with this. I think it's the right thing to do. But let me tell you, you won't believe what happened to me. I said, what happened? Well, the birds started talking to me. So I did push her too far on this one. So, well, no, they were singing all around me, but I'd memorized this little poem, said the robin to the sparrow. Why do these people, humans, fret the way they do? And the other bird says, I don't know. Obviously, they don't have a heavenly father as cares for me and you. And I thought, yes, I was mad at God because he took our daughter overseas for missions out of high school for a year, and we weren't going to get to see her. And we weren't, all these things were going to happen. And now she says, God, I'm just mad you asked for everything. You just want everything, don't you? And then she said, it was like God speaking to me, said, of course, it's all mine. I want you to give it. I won't tell you the story how it ended, but let me tell you, God talking about opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out blessing, it was totally related to that. It was no doubt in our mind. God provided everything we needed. Well, let me say this, as I have to close now. In Luke 12:33, when it says, sell your possessions, give to charity, make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. A few verses after that, Jesus said this, to whom much has been given, much has been required. And I'm not going to give you the spiel about, look how much you've got, and look how much money you have, and look at your home, and look, no. God leads different ways for different people. But I will say this, this takes us to the gospel. Because the gospel tells us that our Savior Jesus gave everything, his own life, on the cross of Calvary, so that we could know life abundant, so we could live by faith. That's the good news of the gospel. I mean, the gospel tells us that he spared not his own son, the Father now. The Father didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That through him, he could give us all things we need. That's the good news. I mean, faith is all about the gospel. And the gospel is about Jesus and what he did. And when we see that, it's not, okay, you did that for me, I got to do it. No, no, no. If we knew God wouldn't do one thing for us, but we realize this is Almighty God, our Father, but he's not going to do anything because I give money, we want to say, yes, Lord, because of what he has done. In light of that, one last illustration. I was a sixth grader or so. I don't remember. I'm trying to think. Maybe sixth grade. A classmate of mine came up to me and had a baseball card, and he was selling some of his cards. He was a collector. I could care less about baseball. I didn't understand why anybody collected cards. It's just a picture of somebody, so why? I don't see the value. And he said, I want to sell you this card. I'll give you, this is a really good card, da-da-da, and I'll sell it to you for $25. And I laughed. I said, $25? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to buy any card for piece of paper for $25. No, no way. Well, in 2022, that little card sold for $7.25 million. It happened to be a baseball player called Honus Wagner. Some of you are familiar. Now, do you think today that I regret that decision? Well, if it were a true story, I definitely would, but fortunately, it's a make-believe story to illustrate a very important point, and that is, one day, as we give by faith, we'll stand before our Lord, and we won't be disappointed, and we'll say, what a good move. And some of us will say, oh, I regret it, but the love of God will never change. He'll embrace us all the same, and he'll say, I was just sorry for you. I wasn't trying to get you just to give something. I was trying to give you something. So keep in mind, faith promise is your friend. Follow Jesus, go to the cross, listen to him carefully, and then, God, give me faith to believe. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, bless us to the end that we might see your hand move worldwide, even through how you'll lead us. Let us be very careful to hear you, whatever you want to say, and make us obedient, and to trust you to that degree. Thank you for the cross. And Father, I pray for seekers that may be among us seeking answers to questions of the faith, that they may not see this as, oh, they money raise. But no, we truly get to receive from you because of what you tell us to do. Bless that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.